everyone. Welcome back to No Time for Neutral. I'm your host, Georgia Hawthorne.
And I'm Andy.
And this is Andy, and happy August recess to everyone who is celebrating, because it's me. I am celebrating that it's August recess.
Yes.
Andy, here's a good reminder of where we are at congressionally heading into this August recess.
Tell me all about it, Georgie.
So thanks to Daines, Sheehy, Zinke, and Downing, 56,000 Montanans could lose health coverage, 8,000 Montanans could lose food assistance, 8 rural hospitals are at risk of closure, tribal colleges are at risk, jobs are getting axed left and right, and prices still have not stopped rising. And to top it all off, Zinke and Downing joined the Pedophile Protection Club that was formed on the House floor late last week to shut down the House floor. House Republicans banded together to close the House floor early, ahead of the August recess, to not have to release the Epstein files. So, yep, this one is still in the news. But can we just, like, it's insane to close down the people's house of business.
Right.
To protect a convicted sex offender. And I'm going to let everyone decide which one I'm talking about there.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy that you would end business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about it in this way. We pay taxes, which essentially fund the government. Our government had a few more days to operate.
Right.
And they shut down because of this debacle with Epstein case, which is mind-blowingly interesting to me.
It's just
right-wing Republicans are turning on Trump. Like, you got your Marjorie Taylor Greene putting out all these.
And it's still happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, but so now they're on paid summer vacation by the taxpayers until Labor Day. And this is what Congress calls an in-district work period. This was come back to their district and, you know, work and, like, meet with their constituents and all of those things. And we all know they're not going to show up.
Yeah.
They never do. We've had 7 months of the Trump administration now, and they've not held a single public town hall. I don't expect them to change their tune anytime soon either.
Yeah. Well, and I would just like listeners to know that Zinke, Downing, Daines, Sheehy, these are our elected officials. So even if they're not Democrat, they don't align with their party, whatever, they still need to listen to us.
They still represent you.
I mean, the fact of holding a town hall when on break or when back in your state is normal. That's something representatives normally should do.
Right. Like, hey, I've been doing all this work in D.C. for the past months, weeks, whatever it is. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
And the reason why they won't do that, they being Daines, Zinke, Sheehy, and Downing, is that they know that they suck.
They know they're in the doghouse.
They know that what they've done is wrong, and they know that Montanans are pissed, so that they're never going to give us the opportunity,
yeah,
like, of their own accord.
So we're going to have our own town hall. We'd like you to join us on Thursday evening, July 31st at 6 o'clock online, so you can join us from the comfort of your own couch. For our own town hall. Mm-hmm. That's going to be with us, along with Senator Cora Newman, Representative Mary Cafaro, and Representative S.J. Howell. The big topics of conversation will be healthcare, Medicaid, and SNAP benefits.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, all of those legislators we have sitting on that panel, those are our healthcare queens. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who go to bat for us in the halls of the legislature when it comes to things like Medicaid. We're also going to have someone on from the Montana Food Bank Network, someone on from Planned Parenthood, and someone specifically from the Indigenous medical community, so that we can know how that's going to affect our tribal Montanans as well.
Great.
But you can RSVP for that at montanademocrats.org/townhall. Again, that's going to be montanademocrats.org/townhall. And once you submit your RSVP, you'll get an email with the Zoom link. So hopefully we'll see you this Thursday.
So since we're talking about healthcare right now, can you go into a little more detail, Georgie, on some of the repercussions of this big, horrible, ugly bill and what that means for healthcare in this state.
Right. So the whole concept of health insurance is so that you can pay for healthcare. But obviously not everyone can pay for healthcare all the time, which is why you have government-funded healthcare like Medicaid and Medicare that is tailored to certain groups of folks. And the reason why the government chooses to offer that healthcare, or I guess chose in the past, the reason why Medicaid and Medicare started was because when people don't have insurance or don't think they can pay for healthcare, they don't go to the doctor. And the government and the hospital has to expend more money and resources into your care. And that applies to really basic things too. Like if you're having heart palpitations, maybe you're starting like early stage heart disease or something like that, where we can start taking care of that a lot sooner, where it's easier on you and it's less expensive. So that's kind of the basis of this. And so these massive cuts to Medicaid stem to completely overwhelm the medical system in more ways than one, unfortunately. So we have all of these Medicaid people who will lose coverage, 56,000 potentially in Montana.
Awful.
Who might not be going to the doctor. And then maybe down the line, we have to pay for ER visit after ER visit after ER visit when we could have just paid for urgent care through Medicaid, which is easier on everybody and less expensive. But Medicaid funds also keep hospitals up and running, hospitals and clinics up and running. We've talked on the pod before that there are 8 rural hospitals in Montana that are at risk because they are in rural areas. It's generally low-income communities, so there's usually high amounts of Medicaid population, which means that the hospital really heavily depends on Medicaid funds to keep the doors open. All of this is really complicated, and it's all very domino effect-y. But the moral of the story, when people get healthcare, they are healthier, and it's cheaper on everyone. When people can't access healthcare, it floods the system, and it makes it tough on everyone. Because if, so say, the hospital in Polson, that's one of those at risk. So there's a hospital in Ronan, and there's a hospital up in Kalispell. Everyone in Polson no longer has a hospital, which means they have to drive to Kalispell or to Ronan, which means that the people in those places get to also wait longer for healthcare because now their hospitals are handling a new influx of patients that they may or may not have the capacity to handle.
I saw the list of 8 hospitals that they're expecting to be hit hard and potentially face closure. And also, the majority of those hospitals are on our Indian reservations, which is devastating.
I believe it's 3 that are like right outside of the reservation, and then a couple of others are within like reasonable driving distance for sure.
Yeah. Georgie, what the hell is going on with all this tariff stuff?
Dude, if I never hear the word tariff again, it will be way too soon. I am not a numbers girl. And so I'm going to need everyone to stop talking in numbers really soon. But basically, I'm going to give you my best understanding, because I don't think anyone really knows what's going on. And that includes the president.
Okay. I figure.
So there's an August 1 deadline, which is this Friday, for all these trade deals that Trump has been talking about for the last couple of weeks. This deadline was originally July 9th, which was for his 90 deals in 90 days thing. But then he had to push that deadline because he had 0 deals in 90 days. Isn't this supposed to be his thing?
Yeah. He's the only one that wants the tariffs.
Right. But isn't he like some kind of like, doesn't he think he's some insane deal maker and like he just can broker all of these deals that no one ever could?
Right. That's his that's a shtick, his persona, the businessman.
Yeah. So
got to the top because he's so good at what he does, even though he's been bankrupted multiple times. I'll stop.
So over the weekend, Trump went on a $10 million taxpayer-funded golf trip to Scotland. There's a video of him cheating also that is floating around the internet. So I'm not sure if there's anything that is sacred to him. He cheats at golf. He cheats at elections. He cheats on his wife. Is anything sacred to this man?
No, I think we know.
I thought golf would be, I thought golf would be like the one thing.
No.
No. But while he was golfing in Scotland, he scored a trade deal with the EU, the European Union. And so they reduced the tariff from 30%, where it was at the time, down to 15% on most EU goods. And the one exception that I saw carved out is steel and aluminum. Our steel and aluminum imports from the EU will continue to be tariffed at 50%, which means that building is going to continue to be really expensive. Building houses, building anything, really.
Which is like not the thing we need right now when we're facing a housing crisis across the entire country.
Right. Because I don't know what else we would make the houses out of.
The man's an idiot. Truly. Like, I don't get what's going on in his brain with this whole tariff stuff. Because, like, even people in the business world that may have an allegiance to Donald Trump know this is not smart business. Tariffs are not good for business.
Right.
Historically never have been.
No. So, like, I'm trying to figure out who's the winner here. Because it's not him. It's not the American people. It's not the EU. It's not anyone else.
Well, I can tell you who the losers are. The American people.
Yeah. I saw a study that Americans are going to pay 70% of the tariff costs. When Trump is out and about saying, oh, well, we're not going to pay the tariffs. Like, we're not going to pay anything. Wrong. But also included in this deal, the EU said that they were going to invest $750 billion in the American energy market, which is notable because the EU historically gets most of their energy from Russia, which makes sense because they're all over there.
Right.
But the EU has been trying to transition out of this since Russia invaded Ukraine back in 2022. But I'm really interested to see how this plays out practically. The EU would have to triple their amount of imports from the US in order to like start reaching this capita number. But also, energy is expensive here. So like, I understand the whole concept of trade and all of these things, but energy is expensive here.
Right.
So why are we paying more on things that they're sending over, and then we're sending things over there that are making it more expensive here?
It's because of stupid decisions by our elected officials, like the president.
Like, I don't claim to know the ins and outs of trade by any means, but come on. That doesn't take rocket science.
For sure.
The EU also played Trump, essentially, because one of the linchpins of getting this deal secured was that they said they were going to invest $600 billion into the United States, just in general, in the U.S. But now they're walking this back. Now that they got to, the deal's been made, the EU is kind of walking this back because they claimed that, we didn't mean us. As in, like, the countries. We will encourage our private sector to invest in the United States economy. But I can't tell them what to do.
So there's no guarantee that $600 billion?
There's no guarantee that $6 comes in.
Wow.
So Mr. Art of the Deal is not happy with this one. Owl.
Wow. What do they call him? Taco Trump?
Yeah. Taco Trump.
Yeah.
So because of all of these tariffs, we're seeing prices go up. And when prices go up, you don't have to buy less things. You just have to spend more money on the things. So this is your friendly reminder that Montana Democrats tried to raise the minimum wage this year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Representative Kelly Cordom out of Bozeman. He put forward a bill that would have raised the minimum wage to just over $12 an hour.
Up from?
$10.50.
Okay.
Or so. And I know that like a lot of places are hiring at above that, but that doesn't change the fact that there are still people making minimum wage.
Right.
All the time.
Many in the service industry.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially for tipped workers, because that wage is dependent on the minimum wage and all kinds of things.
Sure. Many entry-level jobs, too.
Right.
Where the employer will, you know, hire somebody young, mm-hmm. experienced at a wage.
$10.50 an hour.
You can't afford to live anywhere in the state.
No. Yeah. What can you buy? Maybe a week of groceries? Good Lord. I mean, I don't know. The least they could do is if they're going to raise prices, we could at least raise wages a little bit. But that probably doesn't make any sense to them because money to them is just for billionaires. That's not for everyone else. That's just for billionaires. But yeah, prices are rising across the board. And I've got really bad news for my Montana red meat lovers. Because the beef market right now is actually in really, really, really bad shape.
Oh, no.
Beef is retailing at $9.26 a pound. And prices for steak and ground beef have gone up by over 10% in comparison to last year.
Wow.
I saw something that the Tyson Foods CEO, like, you know who I'm talking about? They make the like frozen chicken and frozen meats and all of those things.
Yeah.
That CEO said that these are some of the worst conditions, the worst market conditions that beef has ever seen.
This is coming from the chicken guy.
Supposedly. I don't know. He probably does beef too, but what do I know? But that's expensive.
That's expensive.
I'm trying.
So I'm not the econ guy.
Oh, me either.
Or the business guy. But so, like, for the consumer, beef prices are going to be high.
Mm-hmm.
What about for the people raising the beef in Montana? Does that mean they make a good sale on the...
No, that means that margins are really, really tight. So we're seeing our farmers and ranchers, all of the things that they need to import from places like Canada are getting tariffed and they're becoming more expensive. And so their costs are rising. And because their costs are rising and they need to cover what it costs to run the farm and feed their family, we see the markup price go up too.
Hmm.
I have no idea what that looks like from a corporate ag level, but that's what it looks like from a local level. And a major part of why this is happening is because cattle herds are at their lowest that they've been in like 75 years.
I read a bit out of the Montana Free Press article that came recently that cows still outnumber people in Montana, but by the lowest margin it's been in a long time.
But not what it used to be.
Huh. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So this is not something that will fix tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I'll probably fix next week. I've got no idea what the timeline is on it, honestly, because, again, I also am not the econ guy. But great reminder that we have a ton of local ranchers in this state. And if you've ever thought about buying a cow, or like going halvesies on a cow with a friend or your parents or whoever it might be, now might be the time to support your community and save yourself a couple of dollars while you're at it.
My brother's a rancher. I might just give him a call after this podcast. You get the scoop.
I need a cow. I will say, though, that I was at Costco over the weekend and I found a pork loin that was like this big.
Okay.
It was like 2 feet long.
All right.
And it was like $20. It was 9 pounds of pork.
Costco's the best.
Yeah. I'm going to be eating that forever. But apparently pork is really cheap. So if you're ever in a pinch, that's a good protein to have on hand.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Georgie, I've heard people talking about going back to school already. We're not even in August.
Gross. I have like, okay, so I've only been out of school for like a year. I mean, college kind of counts. But every year around this time, I get this like weird urge to like redo my entire life. I want new clothes. I want new kitchen stuff. I want all new things. I'm going to become a new person. All of my routines are going to change. And it's because of the school year. Like in my head, the school year is more of a new year.
Sure.
Than the actual new year.
The start of the cycle.
Yeah.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. So I feel that. But you're right. Parents are starting to back to school shop already. But it's not because they're excited to send their kids back.
Because they're trying to save money.
It's because they're trying to save money because everything is so damn expensive. So 2/3 of parents in a survey said that they were already beginning to shop for back to school stuff. I'm not sure what back to school shopping includes. I would imagine it's largely school supplies and clothes. But half of those parents said that the reason why they were shopping so early was because they were trying to beat tariffs. They didn't want to wait until closer to the school year and have tariffs kick into effect. And all of a sudden, your 10-pack of pencils that was $2 in July maybe is now $5 or $6 or however that works. In August, we've got 39% of American parents saying that they just can't afford to go back to school shopping this year. 44% say that they're probably going to have to take on debt to take their kids back to school shopping, which is
4%.
44%. That is almost half. To send their kids to school. Insane.
That's awful. And it's not just the parents. I mean, I know so many teachers that's gotten a
ton of money. I was thinking about them too.
Every year because there's just not enough money in the public school system that's, you know, allocated towards a teacher's classroom so they can buy all the supplies they need to teach the students properly.
Totally. That would actually be a great way to like help your community if you have extra funds or the means to do so is to purchase extra school supplies and donate them to the school because there are kids who show up with nothing. They don't have a pencil. They don't have a notebook. They don't have a laptop, that's for sure. So donations like that can really go a long way for some of those kiddos.
For sure.
All right, listen, you always have a weekend story and it always beats mine. And I did like nothing this weekend, so I'm going first.
Great.
On Friday, I went fishing.
Nice.
Caught a couple of fish. Mm-hmm. Went to the restaurant out at Georgetown for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious. Tried a new drink from a brewery in Helena that they had out there. Oh, it was really good.
What's a good restaurant?
It's called the Lake House.
Okay.
And
it's at Georgetown Lake?
Yeah, it's like just off of the lake.
Okay.
Totally worth going if you're ever in the area.
Good to know.
And then Saturday morning, I went to the farmer's market and purchased myself some local veggies. I found a thing of green onions that was like twice the size of my head.
It was amazing.
Great. And then I just laid on the couch on Sunday. And it was glorious, to be quite honest.
Sounds like a great weekend. Okay, I have a bit more to talk about.
Okay.
So, as we know, I'm the one that wants to, like, bring a little bit of levity and lightheartedness and, you know, the optimism.
You're the fun one.
I'm the fun one of this podcast. And today I'm also providing a bit of self-deprecation here. So literally right before we scheduled this podcast tonight, before Georgie got to my house, I got back home just before she did because I was at the Missoula Downtown Association's annual member gathering at Karis Park here in downtown Missoula. And I was volunteering to help out with some of their lawn games. And so close to the end of the event, they had all these people come together to play balloon toss. So you play with the other partner and you have one balloon between the two of you, water balloon.
And you back up.
You toss it back and forth. And each time like one catches it, you back up a step.
Okay.
Toss it, catch it, back up. And so the goal is to only like have two people remaining that got the furthest in their toss, right?
Okay.
And so My partner and I were pretty far apart, and there was like not that many teams left. And I was really, I'm a competitive person. So I was really getting into this game. And she throws it, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to catch it. So I'm running towards it, and I dive, and I miss it. So we're out, of course. And I didn't realize it, but at the time of the dive, I ripped my shorts all the way.
Oh, no.
I just ripped them all the way, and I had no idea. So after this game, I go back down to the pavilion and I start talking to like folks, Missoulians, friends.
Sure.
And Mayor Davis.
Oh, even better.
With a giant hole in my shorts.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I didn't know until my way out of the pavilion on my way home. So. That's what happened to me.
You were just a confident king about it.
Yeah. So I've just been texting people ever since, like, hey, sorry about the hole in my pants. I didn't know about it.
There were so many options where it could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And you managed to pick the option that, like, was not on my list of options.
Yeah. So that'll be one of those memories that, you know, I probably won't forget.
Well, I'm sorry, but I did kind of laugh at your expense.
That's all right. We all need some joy in this crazy world.
So true.
The other thing I have is today I just got back from theater camp.
Okay.
I was up at Flathead like just for a couple of days. I was filling in for another counselor as a camp counselor.
Okay.
I've done this camp before. It's through Missoula Children's Theater.
Nice. Okay.
But I got to just like substitute for a couple days over the weekend as they were getting started. And what it is, it's performing arts camp through Missoula Children's Theater. Yeah. That takes place every year. And how it works is there's about 100 kids that come from all over the country, even internationally, that come here to Missoula, and we bust them up to Flathead Lake and essentially spend 2 weeks at this camp on the lake rehearsing for a full-blown musical. And so these kids get up in the morning, have breakfast, learn a new dance routine.
What?
Get cast in a show, all this stuff. And so in 2 weeks from now, they'll be putting on SpongeBob SquarePants at the Missoula Children's Theater. It's so cool.
That is so cool. I did MCT when I was a kid, and they came to my elementary school every year. And I loved it when I was really little until I got older. And I was like, there are way too many people involved in this for me. But I may end up going to this.
Yeah. I recommend it.
Well, this sounds like a good idea because I hate SpongeBob. Give me a second. Let me get there. Because that's a reaction I get from everybody. My younger sister, we had bunk beds at one point when we were kids. She was like 3, I was like 6. And we would put on a show at night when we'd go to bed. And she had the bottom bunk, because she was younger than I was. So like I could keep myself in the top bunk, you know? She would get up in the middle of the night and turn on SpongeBob and like blare it.
The middle of the night?
Yep. She would wake up and be like, I want to watch TV.
Oh.
So.
3 in the morning.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I very frequently woke up in the middle of the night to SpongeBob's laugh.
So you're traumatized.
Mildly.
Okay.
But my partner loves SpongeBob and is constantly like, can we watch it? Can we watch it? Can we watch it? And I'm always like, no, you are not going to turn that on in my house. This feels like a good compromise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe I'll do that.
It's like a whole different perspective on SpongeBob.
I like it.
You know, it's actors playing the characters and there's more music.
Perfect.
Anyway, there's a plug for SpongeBob SquarePants at MCT. It's August 8th through the 9th. I think there's 3 performances, 1 on Friday, 2 on Saturday.
Nice.
Let's go support these teenagers that are working their tails off over the next week and a half to put on this cool show.
But before you do that, make sure you RSVP for the town hall this Thursday.
Yes.
MontanaDemocrats.org/townhall. Talking about Medicaid, we'll have legislators and community experts and everyone and everything you'll need. So hopefully we'll see you guys then. But I think that's all we've got.
Yeah. Keep writing your legislators, telling them your thoughts and opinions on all these issues going on in this crazy world, and make your voice heard and know you're not alone.
Yep. Absolutely. Bye, y'all.